Here we go again in Jeremiah. Let's see how much trouble Jeremiah can get me in today. I'm going to do the 4th through the 13th verses of 2nd of Jeremiah 2. The prophet says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me, says God to them, that they went far from me and went after worthless things and became worthless themselves?" That hurts me, you know, to hear that. "They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in the land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives. I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruits and its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. Even the priests did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Therefore, once more I accuse you, says the Lord. Cross to the coast of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there has ever been such a thing as this. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked and be utterly desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that hold no water." I don't know how many of us even know what a cistern is anymore. You know, my grandmother had one under her back porch. And we'll talk more about that. The sermon title and the text, you know, for today, make me feel like a person giving directions. Okay? You go down here and you turn left at the first stoplight, he says. Have you ever wondered why it is that we talk about going to the first stoplight and not to the first go light? Well, it's the same reason that we park in driveways and drive on parkways. You know, our language is strange. Well, the prophet is writing with full of things that have become stoplights for God's people. He says, you went after worthless things. Now, understand they're in exile. I mean, a little excuse here, but you went after worthless things. You defiled my land. Stoplight, you know, dead still. And those who handled the law didn't know you or didn't know me. And the prophets prophesied for Baal and went after things that didn't work. Stoplight, dead in the water. The people have traded for false gods and have forsaken Yahweh. The people have forsaken the living water, and they have dug out cisterns for themselves, which, by the way, dry out and crack and hold no water. Dead still, stoplight in the water. That's what's going on here with Jeremiah. The people are in exile, and they've developed habits and worship and values that have them stopped cold. Now, admittedly, and for some excuse, they are in exile, like I said. They're a long way from the land of their ancestors. They're a long way from what they understand to be the promised land. And it's easy when you're in that situation to adopt the Babylonian ways. It's easy to adopt Babylonian values. It's easy to include fewer prayers to Yahweh and more prayers to Baal. It's easy to forget God's great gifts to them. Now, I think there's a strong sense in which Christian people are in exile in our own land. I think the culture around us clearly is not Christian. Every time I hear someone say, after all, we are a Christian nation, I want to scream because it's not true. We are not a Christian nation. The values that we are organized around and committed to are our achievement, being number one. You know, that's a value we're committed to. We're committed to wealth. We're committed to youthfulness. Do I need to make a list of the things we do to look younger? Mm-hmm. And it's not just you women. Don't let men put that on you. It's not true. We're committed to our position in society. We're committed to individualism. It's a me world. We're committed to not just a patriotism, but to a kind of false patriotism. And Christian values in the midst of all of that. Christian values are easily and often pushed aside. What am I talking about? I'm talking about humility. You know, just be a little humble once in a while. Give me 10 minutes, and I'll tell you how humble I am. Right? Huh? I'm talking about selfless giving, about dealing in terms of the common good and the achievement of the community over my own personal achievements, my own personal gain. I'm talking about finding some time for that we can dedicate to prayer and to contemplation. You know, here's how old I am. Oh boy. This gets really personal, doesn't it? Preaching is personal. Here's how old I am. I remember when there were Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday evening worship and midweek Bible study and family prayer time. That makes me old, doesn't it? I'm as old as you are, aren't I? What do I got now? What I've got mostly right now is a whole lot of television time, which is not real Christian, you know. And I'm going to tell you, not even the Christian stations are terribly Christian in my view. What I've got right now is Saturday and Sunday community activities, community sports. On Sunday mornings, I drive to church. Coming up to this building, I drive by the school area down here, and in a large part of the year, I look out there to my left, and what do I see? A whole field full of soccer players or football players or baseball players on Sunday morning. I remember objecting to a high school in Oklahoma City. I said to them, you know, I understand that you are requiring of your football players that they be at the viewing of the films from Friday night's game. I understand that you're requiring them to do that on Sunday afternoon at the time of our youth groups in a couple of the churches right here around you. Now, that's bad enough, but it was a church school. It was a parochial school. There are false cisterns all around us. Now, a cistern is a reservoir for water, a place you store water. And a cistern is useful only as long as there is some source of water. We think of rain and it getting into the cistern, but it can be other things. And the water in a cistern becomes stagnant and putrid if there is not using it and then refreshing it with some other source of water all the time. A cistern sometimes runs dry in hard times. A good place to check that out is in the middle of August up at Acoma, up at Sky City, where they have a huge cistern in the middle of the Pueblo, and it gets dry, and it's a tragedy because then they have to haul water. A cistern can be cracked and faulty so that the water leaks out and disappears. And the false cisterns are pretty easy to list. The things that we depend on being resources to us, and they're cracked, and they dry out, and they get putrid, and they aren't replenished. I'm thinking about false things like pride. You know, we are so proud of ourselves. I'm thinking about influential friends who are our friends so long as we're also influential in some way, and it's a trade-off with them. I'm thinking of the wealth we have. I'm thinking about, you know, that isn't dependable at all, if you think about it. How many paychecks were these, were the federal folk from having to be go to the food banks? Our wealth feels pretty good to us most of the time. We're okay. We're doing real well, but it's not very dependable. It's not a cistern that we can depend on. Our social position. The stock market. It's really good right now. It's okay. It gets flowing around, but it's not dropping off very far. But we know it can, don't we? And dare I mention oil wells? How many booms and busts have we been through? Patriotism. Patriotism that is a false cistern when it celebrates only when we are dominant and we are number one and we are feared. I've got some great patriots in my neighborhood. Let's see, there's nobody here in my neighborhood. Okay. I got some terrific patriots in my neighborhood. They fly their American flag all the time. In the rain, in the snow, at night. Great patriots. They really know the rules. Well, the false cisterns can crack and they can fail easily. But Jeremiah offers us another kind of cistern and another kind of water. He offers the fountain of living water. Does that sound familiar to you? We talked about that a week or so ago. And it comes from life habits and values that the Israelites had before they went to Babylon. It comes from remembering and reciting the gifts that we have gotten from God, who we are as God's children and what God has done for us. It comes from loyalty to God and consistently approaching God in prayer. Those are what I call go lights. You know, you never with those get stopped dead still so that you don't know what to do next. It comes from go lights of humility and self-giving and generosity and prayer. It comes from proceeding to the first go light and then turning right into the arms of God in Christ. Remember the story from last week of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob? Well, you remember in the story, the woman, no matter what Jesus says, they're talking right past each other. No matter what Jesus says, the woman at the well continues to think of the water in material and physical terms, in terms of things she knows. This is real water. You don't have a bucket. You can't draw any sort of thing. She thinks about it in terms of the material things she knows. And Jesus says to her, everyone who drinks of that water is going to thirst again. But those who drink from the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water I give them will be a spring gushing up to eternal life. It's not just water that Jeremiah and Jesus offer. It's living water. And living water is the kind of water that comes from something that in the country we used to call a sweet well. You ever hear that term? A sweet well is a well that you draw from, and it has a source. So there's always some nice water coming in into the bottom of that well, so that when you draw water, you know that it's going to be clean and pure, and it's going to be pretty. It's going to be clear. That's a sweet well. It's a well like an artesian well. It just comes up out of God's earth with that wonderful, boiling, fresh water. It's water that's dependable the year round. And the best cistern is the one whose contents are constantly used and constantly replenished. Living water and the best cisterns can't be dependent on some supply that's going to run dry. And the only source of that kind of water is a living spiritual water from God. There was a fellow whose name was Stephen Covey, remember Stephen Covey? Wrote the book of the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Remember that? He said that the habit that was the key to unlocking all other good habits was proactivity. Not reacting to everything around you, but being proactive and jumping into something in the beginning of things. Being responsible, he says, for our choices and making our choices based on values that we have. Not on some mood or condition of the moment or whatever's going on, but having a set of values and making decisions on the basis of those values. He says proactivity is choosing to make deposits rather than withdrawals. We make deposits in our life because we have values there. See, in my vision, moods and conditions and a host of false values are all false cisterns. Values based on a vision of the prophets and a vision that Jesus had and a vision of the saints of the church, those are living water. They don't have cracks in them. They're not going to drain out and dry. And the big go light in the scriptures is just exactly what it says. It's that great commission of Jesus in the last of the Gospel of Matthew. What does it say? Go. He says, go. Go and make disciples. Make disciples of all peoples of the earth, no matter who they are. Go into all the world, caring, searching out, witnessing with your life to the Spirit of God in the Christ. That may not always make you happy. It may not always make you happy. That's the truth. But it will sustain you in all the times and places, even where there is no happiness. How many stories do we hear? I hear them all the time. Preachers collect stories, you know. That's why we have all these stories. We collect them. How many stories have we heard of how many people in how many wars in this world? Or people who were stranded and in danger in times of storms and earthquakes and fires and other disasters that made it through because they truly believed that God was going to get them through it. How many POWs, prisoners of war, do we know about who survived that thing because they called to memory and recited every day in a kind of discipline the Bible stories that their mother or grandmother had told them? Or they found some little stones around where they were being held prisoner, and they made a rosary out of those. And they counted God's blessings and the things that God had done for them every day of their captivity. Or there was just a little light, just a little light at one place when the sun hit just one place that came into their cell, and it reminded them, and they used it as a reminder of God and Christ being the light of the world. There's a great and genuine cistern or well or spring waiting for us to draw from it all the time. And it has nothing to do with our success or our striving. It has everything to do with our humility and our service to God and to God's people. I will never suggest to you that you turn right at the first stoplight. Now, if you catch me doing that, you're going to be, you know, I know. But I'm always going to suggest to you that you yourself stand as a great go light. Because when we drink of God's living water, God's Spirit that came in Christ is never going to leave us hungry or thirsty. And you will always have the motivation. You'll have the energy to go into all the world. To go and to do and to be whatever it is you have come to understand that God requires of you. Would you pray with me? Eternal God, help us to see the difference, the differences between good and bad cisterns. between water that is pure and clean and will never leave us thirsty, and water that can dry up and crack and disappear. Help us discern what are the good cisterns around us and what is just bad water. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace, in God's name, and with the strength of Christ our Savior. Amen.